This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I'm glad to be here. I thought that since I have to listen to all six Easter messages, it was a good idea for me to give them a break. I was like, definitely study. Go ahead and study, and I'll grab a hold of this message for you. And I'm so happy to be here. I believe that God just wants to speak something very, very particular and special. I'm going to talk about the walk of Emmaus. All right, anybody familiar with that in the scriptures, or anybody done a walk of Emmaus before? Methodist church usually does that. Okay, so now listen. Emmaus was an area that had warm, hot springs in it. Many people would go there sometimes for healing, to get a medicinal there where there were hot springs. And so Emmaus was a place that, and I believe as we talk tonight, this walk, what we're going to see in the scriptures, there's some healing that God wants to do in our life. God is so good. But let me start here. Years and years ago, Alan and I went to the beach with our kids. And I said to him, listen, I want you to watch the kids because I want to walk on the beach and just have this time with the Lord by myself. And so I go out and I start to walk and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to have this time. I'm so excited. And someone comes up and starts to walk along with me. And I was like, oh no, please go away. I really need my time with the Lord. And they're just like starting to talk. Hi, how are you? And I was like, I'm fine, but go away. I need my time with the Lord. Maybe this person will go away. They didn't. She began just telling me all about her life, her first marriage, her second marriage, her children, all the problems. I was like, no, there's got to be a way that I can just get free of this person who keeps talking to me. Father, I just wanted to talk to you. So we go out, go all the way down to a pier, all the way back. She stays with me the whole time. And I'm like, okay, I'm back at where our hotel is. And she stops and she said, you know, I don't know what to do. I grew up Catholic too, and I don't know what to do. My life is in pieces. What could happen to my life after everything's gone wrong? What could happen? And I remember I looked out over the ocean and I was like, Father, I don't exactly know what to say. And then a picture came to me and I said, you know, the only thing I can tell you is this. As a little girl, I loved to just go in the Catholic church and I loved stained glass. Stained glass in a Catholic church often tells a story, a picture of who Jesus is. And many times it'll even have the stations of the cross. It could have it all the way around. Stained glass is nothing but broken pieces of glass that have been colored, rearranged, and put in order to show you a picture, a redemption picture of who God is. And then light shines behind it and it makes it beautiful. And I said, somehow or another, though your life seems like it's in fragments, though it seems like there's in 1,000 pieces, I know somehow God can take it, all those things, rearrange it into a picture of who He is and shine His redemptive, beautiful light through it until your life still tells a story of Him. I don't know how. I just know He'll do it. And that's one of the things I get with this walk of Emmaus. This walk, walking with the Lord, walking closer with the Lord. So I want to show you this, and I just believe God's going to speak. As we go to Luke, I'm going to go to Luke chapter 24, and I want to pray a little bit here. I'm so happy to be here. The Lord's just, as I've prayed this afternoon, I just sense there's some healing that God wants to take place in your life. There's some soothing of some areas that maybe have been rough in your life. There's just God wanting to speak to you. He knows our hearts, and I'm so thankful. So let me pray, and then we're going to go right to the scripture here. Father, I thank you tonight for everyone here. For your word, which is medicine and life, that you know us, you know everything that's happened in our lives, and you are a God with answers. You are a God of peace, and you help us in every way. I ask you, Father, tonight that each person here will hear just what they need to hear from you. So personal, So true, so healing, Father. I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, here we go to Luke 24, and I'm going to start in verse 13. Now behold, two of them, there were two men, were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus. Okay, that was hot springs. They were warm springs of water in that area, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Interesting, they didn't even see that Jesus was walking with them. They're talking about all these things, and Jesus is like, why are you walking? And why are you so sad? And one of the men, Cleopas, he goes, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know what just happened? Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet. He was a mighty man in word and deed. And the high priest, the chief priest, they condemned him and they crucified him. And we thought, we trusted, we believed he was going to redeem Israel. It all went wrong. Jesus is walking with them. Sometimes in life, everything turns upside down. Sometimes in life, everything seems very wrong. And what we do in that time matters. Are we just talking among ourselves? That's how you'll stay sad. You can stay sad for years just talking and conversing with, you know, can you help me? Can I tell you my problem? Maybe if I talk to you, maybe if you converse too much this way and never get a thought from God and never get a word from God, you don't come over the sadness. And yet in the book of Job, it says, misery can pass from our life like waters. You don't have to be sad anymore. I love it. Jesus goes, why are you so sad? Isaiah goes, the thoughts and ways of God are higher. I dare say, if you've had something happen, you're like, I never saw the divorce coming. I never thought my loved one who I was praying for would actually die. I didn't think the business would go under. I wasn't expecting it. And I've talked it out and talked it out and walked it out. Still sad, still hurting, still not okay. But maybe what you need is a thought, a way of the Lord in the middle of that, inviting him into your conversation because he has something to say. Psalm 23:4 says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thank you. They comfort me. We have to know in the middle of a shade of death, and sometimes death and darkness like to just shade, they hover and cover your life. But we have to know, you're with me, Lord. I know you're with me and you'll bring me through. And your rod and your staff will comfort me. What will comfort you? What can help you during a time where you're like, I don't understand what happened. I didn't expect it. It's worse than I ever thought. I mean, oh, that's exactly what they're feeling at this time. What do? You need to hear from the Lord. You need to hear what he would say. Now, I want to help you here. This is so important to know. When you don't understand, when it's hard, when you didn't expect it, is a point or a place where you can actually walk away from the Lord. Did you know that? And maybe that's what happened. That's how sometimes we move away from the Lord. Jesus is speaking to many disciples, and he begins to say to them, this is my body. You're going to need to take it as bread. This is my blood. You're going to need to drink it. It's the wine. You're going to need to partake of me. He's expressing to them and sharing with the communion.
They didn't understand it. And they said, this is so hard to understand. This is so hard. I don't understand it. And Jesus asked, and he says to them, are you offended at this? They were offended. And many walked with him no more. Why? They didn't understand. They didn't expect it. Sometimes when life turns topsy-turvy, when it's just like, it's just all wrong, you have to hear from the Lord in the middle of it. You're like, but I don't understand. I have a friend of mine, and she actually helped lead me to the Lord. I hadn't seen her in over 35 years. And as we've talked, she says, you know, Joy, I loved the Lord so much. Oh my goodness, I loved him so much. And then my firstborn child died at 5 months. I didn't know what to do. I just kind of backed away from the Lord. Why are you so happy in God? She said. Why do you still have a happiness in you over the Lord? Listen, we've all gone through difficult times. It's a matter of hearing the Lord in the middle of it. My daughter went through such a dark time. Oh my goodness, we didn't expect it as a family. It was as though someone just turned all the electricity off and we were sitting in darkness. And we talked about it, and we talked about it, and we talked about it some more, and we're very sad, very sad. And I remember my daughter said to me one day, she said, I feel like we're giving life to darkness. I keep going over this and over this, and it's just life to darkness. And I said, exactly right, sweetheart. It's only the word that's life in medicine. It's only what God would have to say. The comforts can only come from him. She said, I'm just going to begin to read the scriptures. I said, read them out loud. Read the Bible. Read as much of it as you can. She began to read the Bible, and soundness and clarity and healing came. It was amazing what God did. He even showed her areas where she had made wrong decisions, where the Lord had spoken to her and she didn't acknowledge it. And it's like, that's how you got to that place. So many times we blame things on the Lord. He doesn't cause problems in our life. He loves us. He's the one who could heal us. But things do happen. The dark valleys do come, but you're not meant to live there or to stay there, but to come through it to the other side. With him, you absolutely positively can come through. And I believe that's an encouragement to you tonight, that the Lord wants to say, you don't have to be sad anymore. No more sadness, no more sorrow, no more strain, no more pain. Not when God's word comes in. Not when his truth comes into a situation. Not when you're like, what do you have to say about? And he does. He'll say something good. So let's go back to this walk of Emmaus here. In verse 25, then he said to them, Jesus says, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with him, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it. They're starting to recognize him, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Ah, I love this. Jesus goes, remember? Let me show you this scripture. He had told them everything that was happening. He had told them before. He told the disciples, he told everybody, this is what's going to happen. Nobody was listening. They're like, nah, you know, we do that sometimes with the word that God gives us. He speaks to us, or you have a word or something. He's like, nah, yeah, okay, you weren't listening as well. And so he says, remember that? So they're talking, and Jesus was going to go on. They're going to finish the night. And all of a sudden they go, oh, hey, don't leave. Abide with us. I want you to come stay with us. Come eat with us. We want you with us. Do you know that you need to invite Jesus into a conversation, into your life? He longs and yearns to be welcome. He won't barge into your life at all. You have to ask him. You have to seek after him. You have to yearn for what is it that you have to say. I want to hear the thought of God on this. I want to hear what your way is in all of this. God, I don't have to understand it, but I trust you and I'm looking to you. You have to ask him, and he always comes in. In Revelations, it says this, behold, oh, that's the next one. It's a, behold, I can quote, not that one yet. That's next. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door to me, I will come in and sup with you. I will come in and talk to you about that business failure. I will come in and talk to you about what happened with the divorce. I will come in and talk to you. I'll give you the wisdom. I'll give you the healing. I'll give everything you need if we invite him in. But we have to invite him in. Oh, please, I want you to stay with me. As I studied it, I kept thinking, I just love this. When you look at it in the scriptures, it's everywhere. In the Old Testament, there's a woman called the Shunammite woman, 2 Kings 4. I love her. She doesn't have a first name. I can't wait to ask her when I get to heaven, what is your name? Because I love to read your story. Shunammite woman, she notices a man of God, Elijah, passing by. She goes, oh, I want you to stay with me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to build this permanent room in my house. I'm going to put a table in it, a lampstand, bed in it. It's yours. Please come and eat with me. Please come and stay here with me. I want you to be with me. And guess what? The man of God stays there and absolute miracles happen. And everything that was wrong turned right. When you invite him in, all kinds of good things happen. Sometimes we haven't invited him in. Sometimes we haven't done that. Lydia, Paul's preaching all over the place. Lydia's a woman of God. She goes, Paul, wait. You judge me faithful, right? I want you to come to my house. How about Jesus, Martha, and Mary? We know that one, right? Martha's always going, would you come and eat with me? She had to be a really good cook because he's eating at her house all the time. I like that. I like, come and stay with me. You have to want him in your life. There has to be desire. There has to be zeal in you. I want the Lord in this situation. You will get an answer to everything. You will get a freedom from many things if you invite him in. Now, when I was 7 years old, my mom remarried. And I was so excited because my birth dad left when I was about 6 weeks old. I didn't know him very much. He'd come back and forth. He'd change the furniture. You know, he'd maybe get me a hamburger or something, my sister and I. And then he'd be gone. You know, so I was like, okay. I never knew what it was to have a dad in the house. So when my mom remarried, I was ridiculously excited. Here I am, 7 years old, and he comes, and he's there the first night after their honeymoon, and I'm like, on the door. Hi, are you here? It's me. Are you spending the night again? He's like, yes. I'm like, okay, I'm so excited. I could sleep on the floor next to you if you'd like me to. They're like, no. Next day, I put my hands under the door. You know how kids are, hello. Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. We have a father in the house. He was a policeman. He was 6'3". I just thought he was just this wonderful person. So I would get him up. I think I hear someone in the house. He's like, I don't think so. I'm like, I do. He'd get his flashlight. I tiptoe behind him. I'm like, okay, right here. He's like, golly, I didn't know she came with the whole package. He had never had children before. He said, you're enough. I'm like, ooh, he had no idea what I was like. He'd go to sit down to watch TV, and I'm like, oh, don't watch it without me. Here I come. I'd come and jump in his lap. I'm like, hi, you know you want me here. You're not going to get any time with my mom because I'm the one you married, you know. And so he was just, oh, so dear to my heart. And I was dear to his. It was a sweet relationship. And he had this little thing that not too many people knew. He actually had a really pretty voice. He was a tenor voice, and he had been in boys' choirs all his life and sang barbershop quartet. And so we would be driving, and I was like, oh, sing. I'll sing a part and you harmonize with me. Well, for some reason, I thought I had a great voice and I could sing. And so I'm like, sing something and then harmonize with me. Well, it was very hard to harmonize when someone's out of tune. And then you have to hum some of the words. So I'm like, okay, I'll start it and then you join in, okay? So we'd be driving and he'd get to laughing. Because I'm like, when you wore a tulip, a big yellow tulip. I'm like, come on, Dad, go ahead. Just start harmonizing with me. He's like, very hard to know where to jump in here. But he'd start to harmonize and then he'd just laugh. Janet laughs when I sing too. I don't know what it is. I get carried away. Very sweet. I just loved him. He was a redemption for us in our home. If you're wondering if God can ever redeem after divorce, I can say yes, he can. Can he put a picture of who he is? Oh, yes, he can. But when I got older, for some reason, I don't know how, I guess I kind of slipped back. My sister is 8 years older than I am. She wasn't interested in a relationship, so she never really connected. And somehow or another, I slipped back from my relationship with him in high school. And I'll never forget, we were at a shop together. The shop owner said, "Is that your daughter with you?" And I was like, "No, stepdaughter. He's not really my father." I know. Terrible, wasn't it? I felt really bad in my heart. I could feel it in my heart. When we got in the car, he said, So you don't think I'm your real father? You don't want to claim me as your father? I said, "Well, you're not. You're my stepfather." And he said, "Okay." And I could see a tear go down. And I felt so bad, but I didn't do anything. I didn't apologize. I didn't do anything. When your heart starts to feel tender, if you don't respond, it'll hurt you. And that's how we get hard. When your heart gets tender and God's speaking to your heart, that's when we need to respond. Amen. That's when we need to go, "Lord, I want to respond to you." As I look at this whole passage here too, this Revelations, the first one came to me. "Nevertheless," it says, "I have this against you, that you have left your first love." In other words, what he's saying is, you don't love me like you used to. And that's what happened to me and my dad. You don't love me like you used to. Remember therefore from where you've fallen, repent and do the first works. I want to just stop there. Repent and do the first works. Okay, so the Lord's saying, you don't love me like you used to. You've cooled off in some things. You need to be honest about it. If you repent or change your course, do what you did in the beginning. It's the same thing in marriage. We understand this. You know, you're real excited at first, and then you're like, you'll be okay. Just grab dinner yourself, you know? And you have to reignite your marriage. You have to reignite a relationship. But you got to go back and do what you did in the beginning. I remember thinking of this verse and going, you know, I want to make sure I'm walking close to the Lord. I want to make sure He knows I love him. I don't want to have that feeling like that I cooled off and that I wasn't where I was or in any way hurt my relationship with the Lord. So I began thinking, what did I do when I first was saved? I was so zealous. I was so excited. I'm like, you read the Bible and you can actually learn from it. I used to stand outside when we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was freezing cold there. And I'm like, I'm waiting to get in that meeting there. I want to get in that meeting. And then I heard someone that they read their Bible while they were on their knees. I thought, I pray on my knees. I'm going to read my Bible when I'm on my knees too. And I was 8 or 9 months pregnant, cut off the circulation in my legs. I could barely move afterwards. I was like, I can't walk. If there's an emergency, I can't walk. But I want to be reverent to you. And I thought, I'm going to read a little bit more. What can I do, Lord, with you, like I would any relationship, to go back to what I did at the first, when I first came to you, when I first loved you? And if I haven't done that, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to help me there. So interesting, because they said, didn't your heart burn? Didn't you feel it when he was walking with you? Didn't you sense it? Wasn't there's tenderness in you? Sometimes there's a tenderness and we have to yield to that. You know, Peter did. Peter, leading up to the cross, Jesus is trying to tell him, he goes, listen, some things are going to happen. You're going to deny me 3 times. It's going to happen before the cock crows. You're going to deny me 3 different times. And Peter's like, no, I'm not. I'm fine. Satan's going to sift you like wheat. I'm going to pray that your faith not fail. No, I'm fine. Peter, don't sleep now. You need to not enter into temptation. Your spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. He's not listening to what the Lord says. But then in the room with the Lord, he does deny him 3 times. And in the scriptures, it says Jesus looks at him. And I know he didn't look at him mean. He looks at him like, I tried to help you. I tried to tell you this. Peter remembered the words that were spoken to him, and he went out and cried. Did he repent? Yeah, because he went back and did the first works. He went back and said, Jesus, I love you. I'll feed your lambs. I'll do anything you want to. I'll preach to many people. And he did. We have to go, oh, Father, I love you. I want to do the first work. This walk of Emmaus, a cleansing stream, a healing flow of God, where I believe we can see him, where things become clear as we'll go, I want my heart to respond to you. Now, I always felt so bad about what I did to my dad. I could see myself. I could see the picture of him crying. And I was like, I just don't want him to feel like I don't love him. So I remember when I was about to get married, I told my birth dad, I said, I can't have you walk me down the aisle. Dell needs to walk me down the aisle. He was there for me. He raised me. And it's the most honorable thing for me to do. I have to do it. And he walked me down the aisle. When Michael was born, because he had no children, he just had us, I said, I'm going to give one of my boys his name. Michael is Michael Todd. That is after him. I said, I will honor him because he was good to me, and I want to show that I love him. In that year that Michael was born, he was dying. And I had an opportunity 3 weeks before he died to share and just pray with him. And he received the Lord and was born again, and I was so thankful. And then what he did right before he left to go home, and I knew I wouldn't see him again to heaven. He said, it's Christina's 7th year birthday, and I want to throw one more party. He said, I know I'm going to heaven. You're going to stay here and fight. I want to throw one more party. I want to have a pony birthday party for her. Well, we didn't live in a real privileged neighborhood. I'm like, a pony? We don't do pony parties. He's like, no, I want to have a pony party, and I want all the kids in the block, all of them are going to ride the ponies. I'm like, okay, are you sure? I was sick. He was sick. I was recovering. He was very sick. I said, okay. So here we have the pony party. And in our house, I set up for cake. We had a little house, and it was kind of everything. You could hear everything. Had a little loft that overlooked. It was over the living room. It was open. So after all the ponies and everything, all my block, all the kids, all the parents go into the kitchen. And they're all starting, I light the candles, and I'm like, where's my dad? Where did he go? He wasn't feeling good. He went upstairs to life. Where's my dad? Where is he? We have to look for the Lord. We have to ask for him. We have to want him in our life. I'm looking for him. I'm like, where is he? I see Christina, the candles, and everyone singing, and I back up into my living room. I was the only one. And I'm like, where is he? I'm looking up, and I hear him singing. He's harmonizing. Happy birthday to you. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, God in the midst of us, and he is in the midst, is mighty to save. He will quiet us with his love and rejoice over us with singing.
The Lord is good. It's a time to respond in our hearts to him. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you for each person here, Father. And I thank you that you speak to us, that there's a healing that happens within, a peace, a mercy, a freedom. And I ask that each person is able to hear your voice in whatever situation they're praying for. Now, if you're here tonight with your eyes closed and you're like, I don't know the Lord, or I've walked so far away because something happened, I didn't understand it. It was too hard. And I know I'm not close like I used to be. If that's you, if you'll raise your hand, we're going to pray together. We will all pray together, and you'll come right up close to him. Bible says repent, recognize it. Oh, my goodness. And just go back and do the first. Good, 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 good. Yeah, put your hands up. That's good. Anybody else? Yes, 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 yes. Anybody else? Just between you and God. Yes, yes, yes. So, so, so good. God sees your hands. God sees your hearts. God's coming into your life. Let's all say this together. Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. You raised him from the dead for me. I can't save myself. I need you. I invite you into my life, into my heart. Save me. Heal me. Forgive me. Be everything I need. Oh, I love you, Jesus. And I thank you for your kindness. And I thank you for healing my heart. I am yours. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.